The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
We are enjoying a series of messages entitled Journey with Jesus. We started last fall. I have no idea when we'll end. We're just going to enjoy the life of Jesus Christ and the ministry of Jesus over these next many months, learning about the life and times of Jesus, learning about the teachings of Jesus. And in particular today, we're finding ourselves in the portion of Scripture that is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus preached this sermon on the shores of Galilee, just above the Sea of Galilee, on a higher plane. And I believe we have some great truths today to glean from. Let's turn to Luke 6. Let's stand together, please. And if you are a guest, you will find the Bible text in the bulletin today, as well as the outline for today's message. And I hope you'll follow along there. I think it will be helpful to you as we quote different scriptures and so forth. Those scriptures are all found right inside our text today. So let's follow along. Luke 6. I've entitled the message today, The Grace of Kingdom Living. The Grace of Kingdom Living. And we're going to begin reading in verse 30. We left off last week in verse 29, and we'll read today down through verse 38. Everybody ready? Amen. Now you got to help me today. Last week was an amazing week. I'm still trying to get over preaching 8 times and hosting a lot of people and just being involved in the whole process. And I trust that if I get off a little or if I forget a little something, you just say amen today anyways, all right? So I want you to help me out today as we learn from God's Word. So we're going to begin reading in verse 30 and read through verse 38. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and ask him that taketh away thy goods, And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. For be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning on this beautiful summer day in Lancaster, California. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you that we can open it and learn more about your kingdom. We're living oftentimes and surrounded by the devil's domain and Satan's kingdom, but you've called us out to be a part of your kingdom. So help us to learn today how to live accordingly, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The longer text of the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew's Gospel, and as we turn to Matthew's Gospel, we have opportunity to understand the clear teaching of Jesus concerning His kingdom. But when we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, we have really a portion of that which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, we are challenged to live lives that are truly distinct and difference-making in this world today. Notice, for example, in your notes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Matthew 5, 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." God says, "I want my people to be as the light that shines in the world, making a difference. I want my people to be as the salt that is the preserving agent in the world." Now, the fact of the matter is today that the average Christian just kind of goes along with the world system. And the average Christian lives in the dark crevices of this world. I'm talking about sinful clubs. I'm talking about wicked television. I'm talking about the ungodly activity that some of you have been involved in this week. You've not lived according to the kingdom of Jesus. You've lived according to the kingdom of this world. I'm glad you're in church, but we're here to learn this morning how to live a different life for Jesus Christ. We're here to learn how to live a light that is of the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I want you to be the light of the world. He doesn't want us to blend in with the darkness of the world. And so this morning we see in the Word of God that the Sermon on the Mount is going to call us to a different lifestyle. Now, we learned last week that one of the predominant characteristics of this different lifestyle is a love that is a different kind of love. Not the type of love that is the eros love or the erotic love or the pornographic love, but the agape love, which is the Christ-like love, the pure love, the love that gives even when the recipient does not deserve to receive. And we saw that in verse 27 where it said, but I say unto you which hear, speaking about believers, love your enemies. That is a Christ-like love. And so we see in the Sermon on the Mount that God has called us to make a difference in this world. And we see that the way we make a difference is with a Christ-like love. But this morning we're going to take it to another level, and we're going to learn that that Christ-like love is expressed best in a giving spirit. In fact, this morning we're going to see the greatest way of expressing love is to be a giving person. Now, how many of you know that's exactly what Jesus was? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son. And God expressed his love to us by the way he gave to us his only begotten Son. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you are thankful for the gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ? He gave his only begotten Son to us. Christ died for us. And each and every one of us have been given that gift if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Amy Carmichael said it this way. She said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And when you truly love someone, then you express that love with a life of giving. And so this morning, I want you to remember the kingdom life is to be a different life in this world. Salt and light are the characteristics. And the primary manifestation of those differences is the love of God. And the primary way that we express the love of God is by giving and having a life of generosity in this world in which we live. And so let's dive into it this morning. If you have your outline, I want you to notice, first of all, the giving of the kingdom. The giving of the kingdom. The Bible says in verse number 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses speaks about giving, speaks about stewardship, speaks about possessions. One out of every six verses. And in fact, of the 29 parables that Jesus told, 16 of those parables dealt with the subject of money. I used to, as a younger preacher, kind of feel awkward talking about giving. But the more I read through the Gospels, the more I understood that Jesus talked about it an awful lot, because the Bible tells us that where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. And one of the reasons I believe in having a generous spirit towards the Lord is so that we keep a right heart with the Lord and that we keep a right relationship with Him. So the giving of the kingdom. God says, first of all, I want you to give to men that have need. I want you to give to men or to people in need. And in verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee. Now, someone might say, now, wait a minute, Pastor Chapel, I don't know if that's even humanly possible. How do you give to everyone that asks of you? And so, let me give you a few caveats here and a few areas that I believe we may not be bound to give in every circumstance. First of all, there may be those who, because of laziness, because of an outright unwillingness to work, have impoverished themselves. Proverbs 6:9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I believe there are some, even in our society today, who have willed not to work. And I don't know that we are obligated in every case to support their lack of work or their unwillingness to work. Then there are those who maybe are not so much in the lazy category, but the scripture would put them into a lustful category because of their drug habit, because of their alcoholism, because of their immoral lifestyle. They have impoverished themselves. Proverbs 21:20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Proverbs 23:19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, I'm not saying we should never help someone who's come on hard times because of sin. I'm just saying there may be a time when someone who has brought themselves into that situation is not going to repent of their sin until they feel the effect of that sin. For example, one of the hardest questions that's ever asked of me as a pastor is when a parent or a relative comes to me and they say, Pastor Chapel, my son has been on drugs. My son has been on some type of cocaine or some type of heroin, and we've helped him before, and we've given him money, and we've given him a job, but then he went back to the drugs, and then we helped him again, and now he went back to the drugs, and he's overdosed, and he's done this or he's done that. And there comes a point in time, and I can't tell you where it is, where you develop a codependency by continually giving money to someone who may go right back to a drug lifestyle with that. I cannot tell you that you are always mandated scripturally to support that person's sinful lifestyle. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. That's something you've got to have the discernment of the Lord on. And you probably do need some counseling and some help in those times of needs. But generally speaking, if we're going to be living out the kingdom of God, we are going to have, as we said last week, this affects the heart of man. We are going to have a generous heart. And I want to give you two ways that we should give. First of all, we should give without anticipation of human return. It is said three or four different ways in this text that when we give, we should not expect something in return. We should not expect to have that payment made back. And the Bible says when someone asks that we should not demand back or ask again. Deuteronomy 15:7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now, it's easy to give to somebody if you'll know you'll get it back. But the Word of God tells us in this passage that we should lend without the hope of receiving, that we should be willing just to give to someone without expecting to receive. Oftentimes, even in church life, I have seen where someone has lent to someone else in the church money. That person who could or would not repay stopped coming to church because they felt guilty every time they saw the person that had lent them the money. It would be better just to give the guy 50 bucks so he'll keep coming to church and so he won't look to you as someone that is an object of his guilt. And this is what the Bible is saying. If you're going to give someone the money, then truly give to them and not necessarily a loan. I remember reading years ago a Peanuts cartoon, and Charlie Brown and Linus were inside the house, and they were by the fire, and they were looking outside, and Snoopy was outside, and Snoopy had a big icicle coming off his nose and an icicle coming off of each ear. And Charlie Brown and Linus said, look at Snoopy, he's cold and he's hungry. We got to do something about that. And so Charlie Brown stepped outside, and he said to Snoopy, be of good cheer, Snoopy. And then he went back inside his house and shut the door. And that's how we as Christians sometimes are. We give someone a little pat on the back, or worse yet, we tell them we're praying for them when we really never have. And sometimes just give them a token of encouragement when God tells us in verse number 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and give without the expectation of a return. Secondly, we should give with trust for God's blessing. When you give to someone, and when you're helping someone with a kingdom lifestyle, you need to recognize there's a promise for you in the scripture. Look what the Bible says in verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You see, the kingdom work is really not about doing this or doing that. It's really about being in relationship with God. It's really about walking in the Spirit. And when God's Spirit touches your heart to help someone, God says, I want you to do that without the expectation of return. Look at Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And as I walk in the Holy Ghost, and as I'm walking in relationship with the Father, and the Father speaks to me about helping someone, then I want to be willing to be the extension of my Father's hand. I get so tickled when people talk about Christianity as being repressive and unkind. And people say, and watch out especially for those that really believe the fundamentals of their faith, because they're dangerous and they're terrible people. I want to remind those folks and tell them that a vast majority of the hospitals that were ever built in this world and the majority of the orphanages that were ever built in this world were built by Christians who were practicing the Sermon on the Mount. Christian people who were not bringing oppression, who were bringing love and hope and care in the name of Jesus Christ, who said, do good to those people, give to those people, love your enemies. I've read other holy books. They don't teach you to love your enemies. They teach you to kill your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, give to them. In fact, notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 7. Because God says, I want you not only to give to those that are men in need, but I want you to give to the work of the Lord as well. I want you to be ready to give to the work of the Lord. And notice what it says there in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, God says, I want you to help men in need, but I want you to be a part of your local church ministry as well. This book was written to the church of Corinth. And God says, every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Listen, my friend, don't be a grudging giver. Be a cheerful giver. Maybe you're just coming to the place where you're beginning to tithe for the very first time. Let me encourage you with what the Bible says in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. My friend, you cannot outgive God. And if you give, it will be given to you. Good measure and pressed down shall men give into your bosom. God says, I'm going to take care of you. If you are involved in the giving of the kingdom, I'm going to bless you with kingdom blessings. I'm going to bless you with my blessing along the way. And oh, how we thank the Lord today that He honors His word and that kingdom living is a matter of giving and that we should be generous in the work of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard of two men who were marooned on an island. One man was so filled with anxiety, he thought he was dead for sure. He thought they were going to starve on that island. He was pacing back and forth, back and forth. The other guy was sitting on a rock and just kind of waiting with peace in his heart. And his friend said to him, he said, man, we're about to die. He said, how can you be so calm? And the man looked up at his friend. He said, look, he said, last month I made a $1 million commitment to our church's building program. My pastor will find me. Now, I want you to understand something. We're not given to the pastor. We're not given to the church. But when you give in the name of Jesus, you mark it down, my friend, Jesus Christ will take care of you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And so kingdom living is characterized by generosity. Kingdom living is characterized by a giving spirit. And when you find yourself wanting to help someone in need, wanting to help the missionary in Mexico, wanting to be a part of the work of the Lord, that, my friend, is indicative of the fact that you are in relationship with the King and that you are a part of His kingdom building. And you're not so concerned about building your kingdom as you are as building His kingdom. And that's what the message is. When we give, we are an extension of the Lord Jesus, a part of His kingdom. But notice, secondly, this morning, not only the giving of the kingdom, but kingdom living is expressed in the goodness of the kingdom. the goodness of the kingdom. Now notice, if you would please, in verse 31, the Bible says these words, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Now that's not that hard of a verse, so let's read it together. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, ready, begin. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also..." Now that wasn't bad, but it wasn't great, all right? Is everybody with me this morning? Everybody has a Bible this morning, all right? So let's read the Bible together. Luke 6:31, let's read it just a little louder, and let's think about this verse, ready, begin. "And as ye would that men should do to you..." That was much better, class, all right? Now, this is what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. Jesus teaches us that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And so the goodness of the kingdom is shown, first of all, in our treatment of others. Leviticus 19:18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, this is a selfless love. This is not the kind of love that says, "I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me." This is not the kind of love that says, "I need to have my car fixed. He's a mechanic. I'll be nice to him because I can get something out of him." That's the way the world thinks. The world says, "You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back." Jesus says, "I don't want you to give only to someone who can give back to you. I want you to do something to someone like you would want them to do unto you. I want you to love them with a selfless love. I want you to understand that you are to treat them in the way you would like to be treated." And I believe that this type of kingdom living, this type of treatment toward one another, is what sets Christianity apart. I believe this is what sets a Christian home apart. I believe this is how you and I could have a marriage that is completely different, or relationships with our children that are completely different. If we would express Christ-like love, a selfless love, not selfish love, but a selfless love. Think about the commandment of a husband to a wife. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, "So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church." Now, fellas, God has our number right there, doesn't he? He says, "Men, you take good care of yourselves. You make sure you're well fed. You check things out in the mirror and make sure you look right. You take your medicine. You take your Advil if you have a headache. You want a back rub if you have a neck ache. Just the way you take care of yourself, that's how I want you to love your wife." And that's a kingdom living marriage. The kind that says, "I want to love you in the way that I would want myself to be loved. I'm going to love you whether you're loving me or not." And that's exactly what Jesus did for you. Jesus Christ looked down from heaven's glory and he loved us, even though we didn't love him. Even though the only way you used his name was when you cussed, he still loved you. And he says, "That's how I want you to love your wife. That's how I want you to love one another. I want you to have a kingdom love. I want you to treat others with this kingdom love. I want you to treat your children with this kind of love," he says. "I want you to love your children, though they don't always deserve your love, though they might break your heart. I want you to love them with that love." Psalm 103:13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." God says, "I don't want you to provoke wrath in your children's hearts. I want you to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And on this Father's Day, dads, may we take this to heart. May we be willing when our teenagers are rebellious, when our sons don't want to speak, when our daughters are acting hard in their spirit. May we love them enough to nurture them and care for them. Maybe take them away for an overnighter or take them out for a hamburger and spend time with them and express to them the unconditional love of God. And I know it's not always easy. Sometimes kids can be rough on parents, but God says, "I want you to love them with a selfless love." Don't just love your kids when they're doing great. Love them all the time with a kingdom love. There was a boy looking through his family album, and he asked his mother, he said, "Mom, who's this man in our album with all the muscles and the curly, bushy hair?" She said, "Well, that's your father." And he looked at his mom and said, "Well, who's that bald-headed man that lives with us now?" Sometimes kids don't nurture and cherish us, but God says, "I want you to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." The goodness of the kingdom. What about to our fellow Christians? Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens. What about the unbelievers? God says, "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor." In other words, kingdom living involves the goodness of the kingdom, expressing God's goodness, not just because someone deserves it, but because God graciously has loved us. And so in our treatment of others, God calls us to a higher level of treatment. God calls us to kingdom living, not this world's living, not television living, not Satan's living, but God's kingdom living, which is a higher standard of loving. It is the goodness of the kingdom in our treatment of others. And then also he mentions this again, in our lending to others. Now notice that if you would in verse 34. "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." God is saying again that lending with the expectation of receiving back, especially with interest, is self-serving. And God is saying that we ought to lend or give without the expectation of anything back. That we should recognize the goodness of the kingdom in our treatment of others and in our lending of others is the opposite of this world's standard. The world says, "I'll give to you if you give to me." The world says, "I'll lend to you if you pay me back with interest." God says, "My kingdom is different. I want you to treat others the way you would have them to treat you. And I want you to give to others and expect nothing back." And he said, "I realize the Romans do not treat you this way. They tax and tax. I realize sometimes that the Jewish system does not treat you this way. But my kingdom," he says, "is different. And you are not of this world. You are called to my world, the kingdom standard of living." Kingdom living is expressed through a generous heart. Kingdom living is expressed through a goodness of heart. And thirdly, as we study the Sermon on the Mount today, kingdom living is expressed through the grace of our hearts. Let's notice the grace of the kingdom. The grace of the kingdom. Look at verse 35. And it says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great." Notice, "Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." Now, the grace of the kingdom. I must tell you, we do not see enough grace in Christianity today. And what we need are more grace givers and fewer score keepers. Many of us are good scorekeepers. I'll tell you, my husband, 9 years and 7 days ago, said what he said. And my wife never does this. And my boss is always this. And you keep that score in your little bitterness jar until your life is filled with bitterness. But God says, "I don't want you to be a scorekeeper anymore. I want you to be a grace giver. I want you to have the freedom that my grace can bring." The grace of the kingdom is seen, first of all, in our loving of others. Verse 35, "Love your enemies." And that Greek verb for "love your enemies" is in the continual sense. It doesn't mean just once in a while. But God says, "I want you to pray. I want you to practice loving your enemies." And you say, "I can't do it." Now look right here. Look right here. You can't and I can't. That's why if you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives in you, you need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. You say, "I can't love that guy," but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And God can produce love in your heart. And God can help you to have the right sense in your heart towards that person in our loving. John 13:35, "But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Listen, one thing people ought to sense when they come on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church, by a friendly handshake, by a kind deed, by a kind usher, by a kind lady or man, someone that's being a help, listen, they ought to sense immediately the intense, loving spirit of Jesus at the Lancaster Baptist Church, because this is His kingdom. This is not the world's kingdom. This is not ABC or NBC or HBO or MTV. This is Lancaster Baptist Church, and it belongs to Jesus. It's a part of His kingdom today. When people come to this kingdom, they ought to sense the generosity of Jesus. They ought to sense the love of Jesus. They ought to sense the forgiveness of Jesus when they're around us. And so the grace of the kingdom is seen, watch this, in loving people that do not deserve love. In loving people that have not been loving to us. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. But also in our mercy towards people. Grace is seen in our love. It's also seen in our mercy. Look at verse 36 again. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Let's read that verse together. That's another short one, not too hard. Come on, find it with me. Verse 36. Ready, begin. Be ye therefore as your Father. Now, the exhortation to love graciously suggests another trait that is reflective of God's character, and that is mercy. Mercy. How many of you are thankful for the mercy of God this morning? That He's merciful, that He's long-suffering. How many of you know that what we deserve for all of eternity is hell, fire, but God in His mercy hath saved us? God in His mercy has called us unto His own. Psalm 145 and verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Ephesians 4:31, look at that in your notes. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God says, I want you to show mercy one towards another. I heard about a lady that was walking on her way to work. She always walked through a particular park, and there was a man in the park who took photographs, and the photograph of the person would be wonderfully colored with the background of the park in the background. This was when Polaroid pictures just came out. This man took the lady's picture. She took her picture. She continued her walk. But as the Polaroid began to develop, she was aghast with what she saw. She was frustrated. She went back to the photographer. She said, look at this picture. She said, you have done me no justice with this picture. And the man looked at the picture and he looked at the lady. He said, ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy. And we live in a world where people are demanding justice. I want my rights. I'm going to call my attorney. I'm going to call my union. You did me wrong. I want justice right now. And God says that what we ought to be doing instead of demanding justice is giving mercy. Showing the mercy of God. The grace of the kingdom is seen in our love for one another, in our mercy for one another, and thirdly and finally, in our forgiveness for one another. Now look at verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not condemn. And notice, be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. God says, I don't want you setting yourself up as judge and jury. I want you to recognize that you should be quick to understand, show mercy and forgiveness, rather than quick to judge. And the fact of the matter is that oftentimes, instead of looking for ways to give mercy, we're looking for ways to show judgment. How can I find fault in this situation? And God says, if you're starting your relationship that way, it's bound to fail. Judge not, lest you be judged. Now, this verse does not mean that we should not practice discernment. The Bible teaches in Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, that our love should abound with knowledge and judgment. We should have discernment. There are people we should not hang around with. There are things we should not read. There are things that we should, with discernment, turn away from. So we must be a people of discernment in these days. I get that, and you get that. But we must not have a judgmental spirit towards everyone. We must enter into the relationship with a heart of hope. Love believes, and love bears, and love hopes for all things. James 4 and verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And I want to say today that many times when we judge, we may not have really even understood the whole picture. We may not have known what was going on in that person's life. It's much better to let God be the judge. And if the person that has offended you is a Christian, there will be the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus will make all the wrongs right at that time, and it's far better to just leave it to Him. He can take care of things much better than you can. Maybe on this Father's Day, you need to forgive a father. Maybe as a father, you need to forgive a child. Leave the judgment part to God. Let Him be the judge. He'll do a better job of that than you. Amen. And then it says, forgive one another, and ye shall be forgiven. Matthew 6:14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, you might go to someone this week and you might give to someone that doesn't deserve. And you might be kind to someone that doesn't deserve. And you might forgive someone that has wronged you. And they might say, whoa, I don't deserve that. And you can say, you know what? I don't live according to the rules of this world. I'm saved. I live according to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And what I just did for you and what I just gave to you, I did that and I gave that in the name of the one that is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. So how's your kingdom living going? Or are you just going around filled with anger and bitterness and a judgmental attitude and fighting your way through? Or are you living according to the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Remember, kingdom living is not about doing a bunch of things and living according to a bunch of lists. Kingdom living is about being in a relationship with Him. And if Jesus is in your heart, His kingdom is going to come through your life. If Jesus is in your heart, He'll remind you when to love, when to forgive, when to give, when to show grace to someone else. Kingdom living involves giving and goodness and grace. And His citizens, His heavenly citizens, will live a different lifestyle because He is living in us. And so how's your relationship with Him? And let me ask you this question. Do you have a relationship with Him? You see, you will never be able to live kingdom life unless you're a citizen of the kingdom. And you do not just automatically become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That takes place when you are born again. Nicodemus went to Jesus in John 3 and he said, Jesus, what must a man do to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you were born once of your mother's womb physically, but you must be born the second time spiritually. And when a man or woman, boy or girl, receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, when we call upon the Lord and ask Him to forgive our sin and come into our life as Savior, then we are born again. At that moment, we enter into the kingdom of God. And some of you say, I can't love the way you preach this morning. I can't give the way you preach this morning. I can't forgive the way you preach this morning. No, you can't. Not until you receive Jesus Christ. Not until His Spirit indwells your heart. Not until you are a part of His kingdom. Then and only then can you live the kingdom life when you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. My wife and I were married December 27th, 1980. This may surprise you. I have not always been married. It began on a particular day. And I don't know how to tell you this, my friend, but no one has just always been a Christian. If you are a Christian, there is a day when you were born into the family. You were born into the kingdom. And if you've never entered into the kingdom and you don't know that you'll live in heaven, listen to me up in the balcony. If you have never entered into the kingdom of God, there is a beginning point. And you must be born again, the Bible says. And if you've never entered into the kingdom, then let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and enter into the kingdom of God. And if you have entered into the kingdom, but you're living according to the lifestyle of this world, filled with bitterness and judgmental spirit, a stingy heart, may I encourage you today to listen to the Sermon on the Mount, follow the relationship of Jesus, and let your light shine and let your salt be spread, that the kingdom of God would advance to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the teaching from the Sermon on the Mount that we have received this morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see your kingdom is so different from this world's kingdom. And may we live accordingly, I pray.